Father. You have but one Father in heaven. Why, for the last 2,000 years since our Lord spoke those words, at least in the Western world, do we continue to call our dads, the men who gave life to us, natural life in this world, our fathers? If our Lord spoke these words, and they are divine words that we are supposed to imitate and follow, because we don't believe He meant them literally. In fact, we know He didn't mean them literally, because a few decades later, when St. Paul's writing a letter to the early Christians, what does he say about himself? He says to the early Christians, "You have one Father in the faith. I begot you in Christ. I am your Father in the faith." Certainly, Paul, of all people, would have known these words of our Lord and would never have taken that title to himself if our Lord had meant them literally. And so what did our Lord mean when He spoke them? Okay, I had an entirely different homily prepared for today. Sunday mornings, I get up early to say some prayers, get ready for Mass. At 5:15 a.m., all of a sudden it struck me, this is the danger. I always invoke the Holy Spirit, say, "Holy Spirit, you know what the people need to hear more than I do. Give me the words you want me to speak." And then it goes in a direction I would have never desired. So at 5:15 a.m., this is what came to me. This might be one of the most difficult homilies I ever preach. If my dad was here, I wouldn't preach it. He's out of town this weekend. And I probably won't put this one on the website. My dad. My dad is a hero of mine. My entire life I've been so proud that I have the dad that I have. You know, sometimes you hear young people, kids, adolescents especially, they say, "Gosh, I wish my dad was like your dad." Or, "I wish I had a different dad." I've never in my life said that or thought that. I've always been so thankful to have the very Father whom I have. He's provided for us, back-breakingly all these years. He was present to us. He still is present to us. You know, whenever I need advice, my dad is almost always the first person I call. I mean, still today, 33 years old. I remember one time, not too long ago, calling him. I had to give a difficult homily. And I thought, man, I've got to run this by somebody. Called my dad. "Dad, hey, this is what I'm going to say. What do you think?" He said, "Jeremy, I think you should ask yourself, are you saying what you are going to say because you love the flock that's been entrusted to you? When you preach that homily, are the people listening to you going to know that you're saying those words because you love them?" And he gives great advice. He loves his children to death. But he had the most difficult time expressing that. Even today, if I call my dad, busy as he is, he will almost always answer the phone. He might be in the middle of a business meeting. "Yeah, Jerry, what do you need? What's going on?" Or if he can't answer in the moment, he calls back immediately, within a few minutes, or as soon as the appointment's done. When I was in Rome for 5 years, almost every single time I would call, he would drop everything he was doing and talk on the phone with me for an hour. Thinking, "Oh my gosh, he loves me." Do you know how many times in my life I've heard my dad say, "Jer, I love you"? One time. There were so many times I longed to hear those words. But he couldn't do it. For whatever reason. Did I ever doubt his love? Not for an instant. He loved me with all his heart. I experienced it my entire life. But he just struggled to say it. And he struggled with showing physical affection. You know, when you're a little kid, you put your children to bed, your dad puts you to bed, your mom puts you to bed. You know, he would rub our backs, do all these things. From the age of 7 to the present day, you know how many times my dad has hugged me? Twice. And I initiated both. When he was dropping me off at college, my parents, they drove, my whole family, we drove across the country to Notre Dame. My mom, she's sobbing hysterically, "Oh my gosh, when am I going to see you again?" My dad, he put out his hand. "Son, I wish you the best." I'm thinking, "Are you kidding me? You can't give me a hug?" He can't say, "I'm sorry." When I was 16 years old, I got brought home on one occasion by a good police officer doing something I shouldn't have been doing. I was grounded for a few months. Finally, I get my freedom back. I go out one night. When I come home, my dad is furious. I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, what's going on? What'd I do?" My dad has never hit me in my whole life, but this time he was so angry, he opened palm, smacked me on the side of the head. My dad's a big guy. I just went down to the ground. I wasn't going to take any more, right? I had no idea what it was for. I went to my room. Half an hour later, he comes to my room. He said, "Jerry, you know, the girl that you've been talking to, that you've been dating, she went out tonight. She told her parents she was going out with you. She came home intoxicated. Her dad called a few hours ago, angry as can be. How could your son let my daughter get like this?" Her dad just called me back. His daughter was lying. I didn't know that it was not the truth. But he could not say, "I'm sorry." One more short story. When I was a junior in high school, I worked my tail off in high school, right? Wanted to go to a good college. I came home my junior year, first semester, the highest grade point average I'd ever had, 4.67. I thought, "Oh my gosh, my dad, he's going to be so elated." I set it on the counter, just waiting for him to get home. I'm sitting there eating dinner with my siblings. My dad comes home. My mom says, "Dave, you know, today was report card day." They're sitting on the counter there. My report card was on the top. My dad picks it up. Oh, God bless him. He says, "Well, now we know what you're capable of." It ripped my heart. I thought, "Really? That's all you're going to say? I've done this largely for you." Why does our Lord say, "Call no one on earth your father"? Because no one is a father the way that God the Father is a father. No one can love us as we long to be loved except God Himself. As great as every father, any father in the world is, they can't nurture us as God our Father, or provide for us in the way He provides, or watch over us at every moment of our lives, desiring to bring us to salvation. And the same is true for the priesthood. You know, it was when, right after I was ordained, it's something when you're 26 years old and everyone's calling you Father. And I remember the day after my ordination, I go to a restaurant, sitting down with my family. First time I'm out in my clerics, dressed as a priest. The waiter's handing out the menus. He gets me, he goes, "Father!" As if he'd known me for years. I said, "Yeah?" He said, "Oh my gosh, I haven't seen one of you in years." A few days later, I get on an airplane to return to finish up some studies. I get to the ticket counter. The lady, as she's, you know, putting in the information, she is peering at me over her glasses. Finally, I'm thinking, "Well, you know, why is she looking at me like that?" Finally, she says, "Are you Catholic? Are you a Catholic priest?" I said, "Well, yes, I am." She goes, "Oh, Father!" She reaches out her arms over the counter. "Will you pray with me?" I was praying she didn't lose her job, right, for reaching on the counter like that. But Father. Father, I'm entrusting my petitions to you. I left that. I go and I get into the line to go through the metal detector. The man right in front of me, he kind of peers over his shoulder, does a double take, turns all the way around and goes, "Father, hey, will you give me your blessing?" The fatherhood of a priest is real. It's a spiritual fatherhood. Right? Why, when a priest comes at the beginning of Mass, does he approach the altar and kiss the altar? Because our Lord Jesus Christ has a bride, the church. And when a priest is ordained, he shares in the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the church becomes his spouse. The church is the mother of all the faithful, and priests are our spiritual fathers. They feed us with the bread of life. They give life to our souls in baptism and through preaching and in so many other ways. And yet how often priests fail, because they're not the perfect reflection of God the Father, no matter how much they might long to be. I remember one time a lady came to me in confession. She was confessing her anger towards me for something I did completely unknowingly, unintentionally, but it was a sin of omission. I should have provided for her. Call no one on earth your father, because no one is father as God is Father. He alone suffices. He alone can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. And actually, this is true not just of men, of fathers, of mothers, of anybody in whom we have a relationship with. Right? They cannot fulfill the deepest desires of our hearts. I remember one time listening to a priest. He was talking to at a women's conference. And I wish I had time to share the whole story, but at a certain point he says to all the ladies out there, he says, "All you women who on the day of your marriage or in preparation for marriage thought your husbands would fill the deepest longings of your hearts. Oh, I feel so bad for your husbands." Right? They can never do it. The most beautiful relationships I've ever seen, whether it's spouses, siblings, friends, a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, are when both people have their hearts fixed on God first. That they don't first and foremost look to one another to satiate their hearts, because they know that comes from God. And then they can offer themselves what they need to offer. And you know what? It changes the way we look at someone, because we don't expect perfection from them, because they'll never be perfect. And so we can be merciful. And so we can forgive and move forward in our relationships. We ask our Lord for the grace today as we receive Him, that He might always have the first place in our hearts. And then every other affection will be properly ordered in our lives.